Hey everyone, I'm Tony, your host of the Grounded Podcast. This podcast is all about sustainable living, urban and not so urban living, homesteading and healthy eating with a healthy dash of permaculture principles and environmentalism. This podcast came from a blog I started nearly two decades ago after accidentally stumbling into gardening while in my mid-teens three decades ago. And I've been hooked ever since. Now, aside from being a foodie, hippie, hipster, film pundit, traveler, 80s enthusiast, self-proclaimed chef, and I do mean self-proclaimed chef, I'm also a homesteader, an urban homesteader. Now, most importantly, I'm a father, small business owner, organic gardener, and just too much more to name here. So welcome to my sustainable yet attainable home garden. Is it bad that I'm still drinking coffee at almost noon? Is it bad? I don't know.
I think that is between you and your sleep schedule.
My sleep schedule is all over the place.
You got to get that sorted out.
I know. It's like 2 hours here, an hour there. It's all over the place.
I would be very sad. It would not work for me.
Right. I guess because it's worked for so long, it just like doesn't bother me anymore. I don't know. It's weird.
There you go. Well, it's good.
Weird. Okay. So question.
Mm.
What is the strangest thing you do in private?
If I tell you that, then strange. I don't think I do anything strange. Give me an example.
Example? I don't know. Just okay. So me, I have like this weird thing where sometimes I don't want to talk to people in public. Now this isn't public, it's not private. It's weird. But it's like it's weird. I don't run away. But it's okay, so I'll have my earpieces on and I don't want to talk to someone that I may know possibly in a grocery store or something like that.
And you point at the earphones and you pretend.
And I'll pretend like I'm talking on the phone, but I'm really not.
I see. I mean, it probably would hurt some feelings, but I don't know.
So hopefully none of those people are listening because I'm out of myself. Totally.
I will tell them the next time I see them, he isn't really on his.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So you, come on. You gotta give us something.
I don't think I do anything weird.
Okay, you just don't want to tell us.
I can't think of anything that I do that seems abnormal. I don't know. I guess my kids would probably tell you I do weird things, but I don't know that they're weird.
What would they say?
I just swallowed funny. Sorry. So I am absurdly friendly, and I'm sure a lot of the people from not the United States would find that to be obnoxious. And I say hello to every person I see, and I smile at everybody. And for some people, that is probably really bizarre.
I don't know, because I'm really friendly, like, most of the time, right? But there's just some times where I'm just doing things, and I'm in the zone, and I can't stop and talk for 10 minutes, especially if I haven't seen you in like 5 years, which for most people is like, oh, you haven't seen someone in 5 years. You definitely should be talking to them. But me, I'm like the opposite because I know it's going to be a 30-minute conversation.
You don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. I see.
What's going on? I don't know. It's weird.
I see. Anyway.
So,
are doing part two on the carbon footprint discussion.
Or climate change?
Yep, climate change.
I'm just in trouble on that. No, there's really not. Okay. So what do you have lined up on little small things we can do to help with, getting us away from climate change?
So I do have a couple left. And one is when you do have to buy things not locally and you're having stuff shipped to you, because honestly, you know, with the global marketplace the way that it is, we're all buying things from other places. But right. when you right. do make that choice and you need to make those purchases from somewhere, try and support companies that offset their carbon footprint for their shipping and other policies, so that they're doing carbon capture policies to reduce the impact of that shipping. And if you make that, you know, that choice to support those companies, which sometimes cost a little more, right. but it truly does eliminate the impact of that purchase.
Okay. That definitely, yeah, I totally agree. I can't argue. I don't really have a counterpoint other than I agree. You know, I'm nodding my head, and most people sure. can't do that. I'm just nodding my head.
Sure, yeah. sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to jump into one of mine. Okay, so yeah. a lot of mine, of course, are going to deal with gardening and mm-hmm. how to garden and just, you know, central around that. And one of the things I have done, yeah, I guess almost since the very beginning, is to reuse the, you know, those little plastic gardening pots that you get with those new plants.
Oh, sure.
I've been doing that for years because it stops them from going to the landfills, and it just, you know, and you basically you're recycling in your own sure. environment. And I've used those same ones. I just clean them out, rinse them out, and reuse them every season and storm, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, at the end of every season, then I reuse them again. And, you know, when I'm trying to replant some things, or I'm trying to establish some new seeds, and I want it to be not in just those little small little seed containers that they actually, you know, you can plant into to start your seeds off with.
Sure.
And I just, you know, instead of those 1-inch, I have these, you know, larger than normal pots, which are about 5 to 6 inches. And everyone, you know, everyone is, you know, kind of like can see those in their mind, whether they're
sure.
black ones or the, you know, the brownish color ones.
And with the holes in the bottom that
the already have holes in the bottom. Yep. So you don't worry about that. And it's, they work really well. And some of them I've used for up to 10 years. And then I'm like, okay, I've got to reuse, you know, because they start to get those little cracks in the sides after you use them for so many years. But it just helps, you know.
It just helps. Aren't there ones of those that are that pulpy paper form? Are those better or worse?
It depends. It depends on what you're growing and what you want to plant into the ground. But, you know, what I've been really getting into, not to sidestep that question, but I've really been getting into the ones where you can just plant them into the ground and they decompose.
And it's built in with some kind of fertilizer or food for the plants right in the paper?
Right in the paper. Yep. And you can just put them right into the ground and boom, you know, and then they just become a part of the soil after a couple of weeks or months. I love those. But yeah, really, honestly, I really don't think that the other ones are any better. You know what I mean? Like the
right.
paper you're talking about. I don't think they're really better in the sense of they're more sustainable. It's just what's more of a comfort for sure. you. And sometimes if something is as sustainable as something else and it, you know, provides a level of comfort, then for me, that works just as well. And I'll, you know, just go with what's more comfortable. And really when you're gardening or anything like that, especially if you're gardening with, you know, the heat of the summer and you have all these insects and everything, you want to do what's less work intensive. So for me, it works. It works just to recycle the plant.
Love it.
Already have. All right. What's another one for you?
That one actually reminded me of something that my grandmother used to do when I was young. You would go into her refrigerator and think you were getting out the country crock butter spread. And you would open it.
Yeah.
And it would have leftovers in it, which is funny because not only is it economical to reuse stuff, but it is also a fun surprise in every dish. But it kind of does bring to mind that you can reuse stuff for other things. And if you are creative, there's no reason to throw away something the first time you've used it. And so I think that that's an interesting one. But it does kind of go with another one that I think a lot of parents out there can really identify with. And that is that diapers and their impact on the climate around us and the world around us. And so the question kind of comes up, is fabric diapering versus disposable diapering better in what it does to the planet? And, you know, studies are mixed where for first time use, disposable diapers don't come out ahead every single time. But if you can use them for more than one kid, or you can pass them on to another family, you really start getting the benefit of not having used disposables. And so make sure you're doing your research when you're deciding on how to diaper your kid. And parents, don't be shy out there. This is for children's potty. So, you know, you don't have to buy something brand new. They're not going to treat it great. So definitely consider joining a parenting co-op where you can share reusable diapers and other baby products that they're going to grow out of really quickly and pass it on to the next family who can use it. And then we've reduced not only our impact on toys, but diapers and clothes and baby shoes, you know, all of those things that if we just swallow our pride a little bit and be willing to use again, those reusable items and share them with other people, we can really reduce that impact as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I just piggybacking off of that a little bit too. I've never understood the reason why anyone would buy anything for a newborn, right? Or even, a 3 or,
$80 shoes. Oh my goodness. No.
Like, really? It's like, they're not even going to wear it. They're going to be in it maybe, 30 minutes and that's it. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. I can tell you because I used to, as everyone knows, I have 7 kids and it's just out of all those 7, I have never honestly clothed them with any of the newborn clothes that they had, because either they were already too big as soon as they were born, or they wore them probably for a week or so, and that was it. And it's like, what do we do now? We're going to, send these. And then what do you do with those? Do you send those to, like you were saying, some kind of co-op or, secondhand? Right. But it's like, how long are they going to actually? So it's like, I don't know, there should be something different for newborns, something more sustainable, something different, or maybe just don't clothe them at all. I don't know. Wrap them up in blankets until they get to a certain, because they're going to grow really fast during those first couple of months, right? It's like, because honestly, that's what we did at a certain point, It was like just doing that. But yeah, anyway, it's so fun.
It is an expensive time in a parent's life, that's for sure. They go through stuff really fast and soil everything so quickly.
Yeah. It's like, this is gone too, right? And it's like something, like it gets to the point, it's like so soiled, it's like, do we really want to, think about ways of recycling that too.
Use it to clean a car.
Right. There you go. Car wash outside. Yep. That's it. It works. All right, so one of the points I'm going to bring out is kind of like something we can actually really do, and this is a huge one. This is a really big one, and it's stop tilling your soil. And it's only right? Why? Because even the science now is like fully on board with this. It's like, why are we still tilling our soil? Because it disrupts the soil structure, soil, surface. There's so much runoff and erosion. And tillage, it actually reduces the crop residue, which helps to cushion the force of pounding rains. And it's like, well, how does that change a lot of things? But there's a lot of nutrient runoff into nearby waterways, which increases greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, on and on and on.
Right.
And tilling, it also does something that it creates more work for the gardener, because it exposes the weed seeds to the surface, because those seeds that were underneath are now at the top. They're getting the sun and all the, and now you have more weeds and now you have more, gardening, chores to do. So it really doesn't help.
And I also heard that was a major contributing factor to the Dust Bowl in the early, I think, 1930s.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it kills the microorganisms, you know, that are in the soil, and it just causes just this, you know, atmosphere that is just not hospitable for really growing anything, you know.
Right.
So many downsides to it. And like I said, it's labor intensive for the gardener also, because you're having to do that, and then you're having to maintain that, and then, you know, you're killing your soil all in the same. So it's like, no, I do the soil layering. It's like, yep, every season I have the soil from the previous season, and then I do a little bit of compost and mulch and add just a little bit of new soil to it, and just keep that up every year. And you'll realize that, you know, your garden will be better.
Right.
You know, as far as, you know, the further on in your gardening you get. And it's like, right. Oh boy, you know, it's like my garden is doing so much better now than it was, you know, 4 years ago when I had all this new stuff. It's like, yeah, because you're building those microorganisms within your soil, and it really helps that out.
And also, I bet a lot of people are tilling with a gasoline powered tiller or a tractor or something like that. And you're going to literally reducing the impact there, because you wouldn't be needing that power, that fuel.
Yeah. It's just so many different things you're adding when you're tilling the soil. It's just not good. I mean, just on every level, it's just not good.
Yeah.
There was a Netflix series I was watching. I can't remember the name of it. What was it? I knew we were talking about it some time ago, but I just recently, I was like, wow, this really, I mean, I knew a lot about the tillage and everything, but it really put up my eyes to, like, we can actually, you know, regenerate a lot of the Earth's surface. And it's because of tilling over several, not just, you know, decades, but several hundred years. I mean, that we've, you know, destroyed these certain parts of the planet. And that is a huge contribution to greenhouse gases being released and just the breakdown of just everything, you know, ecosystems. It's really not good. Just overall, just not a good practice. But because we're so used to doing it, you know, a lot of people can't get out of that routine.
Yeah.
That habit of doing it.
And there may be a better way to just, you know, try something new and see how it works and give it some time, and it's worth giving it a try. That's for sure.
Right. All right. What's next on your list?
My last one was really a simple one, but it kind of piggybacks on the idea of supporting companies that offset their carbon footprint. And you could offset your carbon footprint by just planting trees throughout your life. And if you are planting trees, they are absorbing carbon into their system, and they are naturally filtering it out of our environment. And I think that if we make a habit of planting trees everywhere we live, everywhere we go, you know, that obviously ones that are going to be appropriate for the area, but it's going to be offsetting those things that we can't help. Because some of our lives are just going to require that we use some carbon, and that we offer that into the world, but we can kind of pull back with that. And, you know, it's really interesting. I think my understanding of the impact of the things that we plant really was piqued by an article I was reading about Superfund sites, and they were using mushrooms to clean it up. And so it's really interesting the way that plants being introduced to an environment can make a huge difference in healing the damage that has been done there. And it's just so fascinating. It really is.
Right. Yeah. That, you know, I love just the, you know, the planting of trees. Cause okay. So a couple of years ago, I had to take down a couple of trees cause it was just, you know, hazardous to my children in my backyard. And they were a huge thing. So I was like, what can I do to, you know, offset this? You know, somehow I can plant new trees. So what I did was I started to create this food forest and really incorporate that into my overall ecosystem in my backyard. So I took down three humongous trees I put in like six the first time, and then it's like every year I'm adding a tree or two. But it's all like fruit trees, and it's different types of local trees, which that's, you know, you want the native trees, you know, you really want them, because they do well and they don't need as much maintenance. They don't take enough, you know, they don't take in too much water, you know, because they're native to where they should be. So whatever environment you would get wherever that tree is or plant or whatever it is, it'll do well there. But right. climate change is starting to change a lot of that. And a lot of it is because we've taken away some of these trees from where they would be as far as a native.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot, and that's a whole rabbit hole in and of itself to go down with deforestation and
you know. Right. Now, when you cut down your trees, another thing that I think would make a positive impact is letting that tree rot in place versus chopping it up and burning it or hauling it away, you know, because that decomposing tree can offer a life source to so many interesting things, too.
It's something you would definitely see in a forest. And one of the things I did, I didn't bring up and I probably should have, is I used a lot of it for mulch. And I'm glad you brought that
yep.
up. Yep. I use it for mulch, and it was just all these different things I could use it for. And one little, I use it as like almost like a the big part of the stump that they removed. I had it trimmed off from the bottom, and I use it almost as a seat in the garden. So
yeah,
that's really cool. Or storing, you know. Yeah.
And it's so funny, we have this idea of what a yard should look like or what a garden should look like, we spend so much time raking up leaves and cutting the grass and making it look just so, when in reality those things may seem appealing to us, but they're really detrimental to the health of that garden or that yard. And we can do so many things to just let it be healthier in general. Leave the leaves under the trees and let them go back into the soil and that sort of thing. So it's kind of funny how our opinions impact the planet too.
Yeah. I've actually talked about a little bit of that on a previous episode, just, you know, when planting trees and why we should plant in the fall time and you
sure.
know, how it basically continues to feed itself until it comes to a point to where it no longer, you know, is viable and it, you know, it naturally dies itself. And then the entire tree itself becomes, you know, food for everything else right. around it. And it will probably have seeds within.
Right.
It'll create more trees, and it's like that life cycle continues and it goes.
It becomes a nurse life, right? Like
that's what right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that that's just fascinating. Just sit and watch it, like see its natural cycle. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. All right. Another one I'm going to jump into, something small we can do is switch from peat moss to coco coir. Now, coco coir is a readily renewable, pH neutral, non-hydrophobic soil amendment that aerates and improves water retention. I know a lot of gardeners, they use this, the peat moss, and it's really not sustainable because it's taken from Canadian areas. Yep. And it's just not sustainable at all.
But they're fascinating, the peat bugs. Have you heard of the
yeah.
the bog bodies? I can't stop reading about
them. right. Yeah, I get into reading certain things sometimes, and it's like, well, I go down this rabbit hole, and it's like, how did I get here 2 hours later? How did I get here?
Same.
But it is fun. You know, but coco coir can be used, and you know, in the same way as peat moss, but it's just renewable, and it's
right.
a better option, and it's slightly more expensive. But
it is a little right,
a little bit more.
I also use coco coir for our compost toilet, so yeah, I'm
right. I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's fun. Okay, so another thing I wanted to bring out, and it's really short, and it's just kind of like self-explanatory, is using cast iron cookware. It's one of the best things.
I see. That's not because you're Southern, is it?
Absolutely not. No. That's not a Southern thing, is it? Maybe.
I think it used to be. I think it's a little more common here than it used to be.
I don't think it's as Southern as it is maybe a different lifestyle, say maybe a country lifestyle or a homesteader's lifestyle, because you'll see a lot of different lifestyles where they're using that, and they have been for a very long time, as long as the South has been around. So I don't know if it's maybe, I guess it's been associated with the South more.
Right.
Of, you know, cornbread and things like that. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
And, or maybe, you know, these chili or open fires and things like that. I don't know. but I love it and just getting it seasoned just right. Yeah,
I do too. I do too.
Any thoughts on that before I move on?
I also like, especially as a non-meat eater, I like that it contributes iron to our diet in a natural way. And so yep. I do count on that. Yep. I use that and I feel pretty good about using it. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and you can't, and once you buy it, you don't have to buy them again.
That's right. If you treat it right, it'll last forever.
Yeah. 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 If you don't put it in a dishwasher.
Oh my gosh. Who even has a dishwasher anymore? Don't be silly. Right.
Sacrilege. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like that's wasting a lot of water, isn't it? That's another topic. Yeah.
That's another topic.
All right. So anything else you have, or that was it for you?
That was it for me. We got through my list. Okay. I'm sure there's others.
Oh yeah. There's thousands of others. I had to pare my list down so much. It's like, I want to talk about this. No, we can't have a 16 hour podcast. We just can't do it.
I don't know. Right. I can't.
I probably could. I talk a lot. I probably could. Okay. So another area I wanted to jump into was, let your go. Just let it go.
I agree with that. 100%. I hate them. I hate lawns.
We're gonna dive deep into this topic later on this season. But that is one of the things, and it has so many ties to so many negative things. But you know, what I was gonna say is just let it grow, and you'll find that you'll have less to water. You know, you'll have to water. Less, and you'll actually have some of the natural flowers and things because of birds coming over, right, depositing. You'll have a meadow that will start to grow back. It will take care of itself. And when you're not mowing and doing all these things and adding all these different things to your lawn, it's prettier and it adds to the ecosystem. I love that.
Sure.
Adding all these different things, these birds coming in, and you'll see the bees. Like some of my neighbors, they get irritated sometimes when I don't cut my grass.
That sounds like an HOA, Tony.
I don't live in an HOA, and I know. But I can kind of like see the side-eyed look sometimes when I let it grow up about, you know, 4 or 5 inches, you know.
Oh no.
Especially this time of year, because okay, so the only time I usually cut my grass is usually during the end part of June and in July. And then I just let it go after that. It's like, and it's only like once a month. So I literally only cut my grass like 2, maybe 3 times a year, depending on how much rain we get.
Sure.
But it's like, for me, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, because I see at the beginning of the season, you know, the bees are out there, they're on all of the so-called weeds or dandelions, sure, and everything. And I'm like, I'm feeding them. Why would I cut all that down just so I can have this perfectly, you know, manicured lawn? I just don't see the potential, you know, or the upside to that. I just don't. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So it's like, yep, I'll do that. And, you know, but anyway, we're going to definitely dive deep into that later on in the season. That's going to be a fun conversation, and you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't wait to get to that one. It's like, I've been wanting to bump it up and really jump into that, but anyway.
Don't get me started on golf.
Right. Oh, I have 2 golf courses that are close to me, and every time I look at them and they're out there in the morning, because I usually pass by one of them every morning going to work, and I pass by and they're out there with all the water spraying every single day, and I'm like, that is just, and then I see people out there, and they're only out there for maybe an hour or two, and then they go about their day, and I'm like, and I know they're spraying it. So it's just bad, and it's like all that land being wasted, but yet we don't have enough space for people to grow food or enough occupancy for people to actually, you know, live and affordably. It's a bunch of crap. Okay. So my last one here, we talked about this briefly, and I was thinking about whether or not I should actually include it or not.
Okay.
You know what I'm gonna say, and this is controversial even for me, because I was like, you know, but you know, I cannot say, well, we should be doing all these things and then leave off this huge thing that I know is big.
Right.
I'm doing a lot of lead up here, a lot. But okay,
here
okay.
It goes.
All right. Drink less coffee. Okay, I know I probably lost so many subscribers. That's what I said. That's like, nope.
I'm not.
I get it. But when the average person worldwide drinks almost 3 cups of coffee a day, you know, that's a huge problem. Why is it a huge problem?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reason is because of a lot of different things, right?
Sure.
But of climate change, and that's why we're kind of like going right back to that. You know, and the main reason is there are three regions in the world in particular, and this is where most of the world's coffee is grown.
Right. Which
is Central America, Central and South America, Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, which are already warming at an alarming rate. So these regions already have issues with water usage already, just without adding anything else to it.
Right.
You know, it's just for me, it's like, you know, because some of these regions have to import water in, and they don't, and in some of the regions they're overusing the water. So it's a lot of different things, you know, and it's, I don't know, I've heard a lot of different things, and I'm trying to really dive into the research on this, and it's saying by 2050 we should, you know, we probably won't have enough coffee for everyone to drink 3 cups, let alone probably 1 a day. So the price will go up sky high. There's going to be so many issues. And, you know, because of climate change, these areas, you know, which are all located along the zone between the Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn,
right,
known as the Bean Belt. This is the Bean Belt. I was like, oh, that's kind of like a play on the Bible Belt. Okay, I get it. but they're all heavily affected, and, you know, all while creating climate refugees, which is another topic I'm going to dive into. I don't know if it's going to be this season, but we're definitely going to talk about that at some point. You know, but we're going to talk about that later. But yeah, I mean, it's creating these, you know, of course, we're not even going to get into the whole fair trade and, you know, slavery going on, you know, in Ghana and other places where a lot of this, you know, a lot of these beans are being grown and just all the things behind that. But I mean, it's like we're drinking coffee, but we're creating climate refugees at the same time. And a lot of people affected within that. It's just, I just find it to be so, so interesting. Disheartening at the same time, because it's like, oh, so it's like, so if I can go from 3 cups to maybe 1 cup, or maybe switch to tea on certain days, and you know, but this is something, like I said, and these are all things we can like do like right now, and we can make huge changes with, you know, carbon footprint, climate change. I mean, just all of it.
Right.
These are not like huge. Like if all of us just adopt maybe a couple of these things and continue to do a little bit more as time goes on, I think we can make huge changes.
I think so too.
Yeah. But that was something I was like, oh, should I? I was kicking that around in my head for a little bit. It's like, should I include that? Should I, you know, just put something else, you know, more, you know, easier topic to cover that doesn't hit me right where I live? You know what I mean? I don't know.
I think so too. You know, I do have one other kind of, as we kind of come to a close, that people can easily go online and take tests to identify their footprint, and maybe just challenge yourself. See if I can't get it down a little lower. Just take the test, see how it goes.
Yeah, see if you
can make changes, and then try again.
Just a little bit at a time, just a little bit here and there. And yeah, I mean, and we often think, oh, it's nothing I can really do. But if we have everyone doing just a little bit, and they just step it up just a little bit more and more and more, and you have millions of people doing that, that's a lot of change. And I think sometimes we want to see just these huge changes all at once. And it's like, that's usually not how things work. It's like these little small changes that that come with small steps, you know.
Well, I think that's really well said. And I think that we can just start making those steps forward together.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast again. You are my co-host. I don't have to thank you anymore. You're going to be here, right?
That's right. I won't quit on you.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you so much.
And, it was nice chatting.
Where can they find you? Oh, you know.
Oh, I don't have that stuff. But
you don't have that stuff. See, she's off the grid already, people.
I'm off the grid.
If I could totally get off the grid, believe me, I would. But I can't do it. I can't get out of the matrix. I know I say that. I know people are like, oh, well, if you really want you to find a way. No, I really can't. I have to keep getting this information out there. So I have to stay attached somehow to it. So there you go.
There you go. I like
it. Oh, what were you going to say?
I said I like it. You can be plugged in for both of us. How about that?
There you go. So if you want to contact Michelle, just contact me. There you go. And everyone knows where they can find me. All the places where podcasts can be listened to.
All right.
Thank you, Michelle. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony with The Grounded Podcast. Make sure to follow and share the show. Share the show via your social media, friends, and family. And leave a 5 or 4-star review to help us move up in the charts. And by the way, stars 1 through 3 no longer work. Another way you can help the podcast to grow is by subscribing to the podcast for just $2.99 a month. Just basically the cost of a cup of coffee, right? And you can also follow us on Instagram @groundedpodcast_. Thank you so much.